In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
Okay, hey everybody. It's us again. It's the Xmas or Christmas Eve app of Action Film Autopsy. And as usual, there is me and on my right,
Jen.
And on my left,
Nico.
All right, guys. We got a fairly quickie unless I really go into it. And I, on the basis of Star Wars, I have a funny feeling I'm gonna pull a Bill Frakey on you. I have a story to tell there. So what do you want to start with? I mean, we've got
Star Wars. I think we should hold off on Ferdinand.
Why? Because you want me to see it? But
yeah.
You guys know more. I mean, you worked on it.
Yeah, but that's why.
Yeah, and I also know the story that he doesn't fight at
the
end.
But you don't know our story.
That's true.
I think we should wait. I think our fans would appreciate us fighting with you.
In a month.
From a maker's perspective, just like in general.
All right, but so
I feel like we should just talk about Shape of Water because we literally just got out of Ferdinand.
Just got out of the Shape
that's
of
true.
Water.
That's true.
And by the way, feel free, we have a silent guest who is leaving in a couple of minutes.
Misha!
And you also work here, right?
Or
you work here at Blue Sky Studios. And you can throw in any of your two cents if you want to. We just saw The Shape of Water, which is not really an action film, but it is what? It is an adult fantasy. It's got sexy, it's got violent.
So it's like a Guillermo del Toro film, is what you're trying to say?
That's what somebody just said on
that's
Facebook.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of my favorites, but my favorite still remains Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, I thought you said Devil's Backbone.
I like Devil's Backbone.
Pan's Labyrinth is my favorite, too.
Yeah, and this one I thought was a little too long. A little too indulgent.
I thought I was going to look and see like an hour and a half past, and I was going to be like, damn.
Again, that's because you like the film a lot.
See, but I didn't know if I was going to like it because this is one of those films where it the ending would have made me either really like it or really hate it.
Do you like it or dislike it because of the ending?
Well, I'm happy that it was a happy ending.
It wasn't a happy ending. She died.
No, she didn't.
She didn't.
She died.
No, she
it killed was her told, and she got
it was
killed.
Told okay, from the perspective of the
oh my
old
God,
man.
No.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. That's
oh
the whole
God,
thing.
No.
Hold on. We missed the theme song.
Right.
They'll be spoilers.
God, I'm not singing.
They'll be spoilers. You never do. There'll be spoilers. We want these films to be better, so there will be spoilers. Yes, as you've heard already. So there is some question. I thought there was no question at the end that she doesn't die.
I had that no question
lived.
She died. She died.
Nope.
No.
That's the whole thing with her marks. So they want you to think that becomes a guilt. She dies.
It does become a guilt.
As soon as they went in, voiceover came
why
through.
Why do you think that they showed him like his hair and the bullet? Like they foreshadowed this so many
yeah,
times.
They foreshadow him having the ability to heal people, not to turn someone into a mermaid. She died. Her heart got shot.
He's
through.
A god. He changed
he
her into
her,
a
he
mermaid.
Brought her back
that's
to
what
life.
They want you to think.
Yeah, because that's what
I know.
You're outvoted, Miko. It's
yeah,
2-1.
That's fine.
Namisha, what do you think?
It's a Brazil ending.
But
oh, Miko, you come in.
I think it's actually up to the person who's watching it. Like, I feel like I understand.
Diplomatic answer.
Her, but in my head, she lives.
So, yeah, and I had, and she lives too.
But I do understand the.
It's just water.
Dies because let's see, if the narration still comes through from, like, if there's no narration, I will understand that like she lives. But the narration transfer into the voice, basically being, I wish they have a happy ending,
like how this should be. Watch how this happens. We're the story people, Miko. You're the animator. So the story people say,
but is that even
she,
me?
She that, lives. And, she lives.
And but wait, you know what? The
animators
opening,
are
the
also story
did
people.
Say that this was like a love story and a tragedy. They did say it was I think it's up to the
movie started with a narration and ended with narration of the person that the old man, I don't know what I forgot
that's right
his name.
So it may be all
so
from his
it
point
is,
of view
it's from his it's sort of like his retell of the story. He wanted them to have a happy life.
Well, here's,
but it doesn't.
Is this like kind of a Life of Pi thing where it's like, here's the happy version.
And the Brazil.
It's
Brazil.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
That's like they want you, like, with the fact that she has scars on her neck, that comes to become Finn, that's what they want. It's a romantic version of it.
You know, that's a really, that sets the theme for this episode.
But this entire film is, honestly, you could look at that and you could see, like, all right, this girl has, like, a weird kink and had sex with a fish. Like, it just depends on how much you want to romanticize it. The fact that she was lucky enough to have friends who were accepting that she found this love, however strange or whatever it might be, like, I think it just depends on how much you want to buy into it.
Well, that makes the movie even better, because it also sets the theme for this episode, because I agree with both of you. I think you can look at the movie.
That is, like, the theme.
It could work both ways, and each way is valid, because you're, Del Toro really had a... Yeah, and there goes Jen saying, no, I'm right.
I'm saying I'm more right.
I bet you if you look at an interview, like, 10 years down the road, Del Toro talks about this film, he'll say the same thing. Because, like, that's how the film looks.
I guarantee you. He'll be like your friend here who will say, you have to interpret it. By the way, he wrote it along with Vanessa Taylor, who is a producer and writer on Game of Thrones. The stunt coordinator is Steve Lucescu, who has 292 credits.
Wow.
Since 1976.
That's impressive.
He's done driving. He's a driver. He's a stuntman. He's a stunt coordinator. He's worked in TV and film, and he worked on this one. And it is a very beautiful looking, but if you're Jen, it's just the right length. And if you're Miko and I, it's too long.
It's a little bit long.
It's a little long.
There are moments where the tension ramped up, and then it should sort of carry on a little bit, but it dies down back, and then it ramps up again.
It's a great example of a movie made by someone who loves his movie.
Yeah.
This was clearly an act of love,
and
a labor of love.
Film in general.
Yeah. Del Toro did not make this for you or me or you or you. He made it for himself.
I will say apparent. The thing I dislike the most about this, I liked the villain and I understood, like, where he was coming from, but I felt like it got to a point where it was kind of too cartoony and over the top.
I thought it was very cartoony and over the top from the very end.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
I mean, this whole thing is an adult fantasy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so there was a certain amount of, like, leeway I was willing to give it, but then the whole thing with, like, the fingers and the pill, I was like, all right, like, calm, like, what are
you? It's just fun to watch him act.
It was, I didn't think it was even fun. Like, I was just like, I mean, sure, he had fun in the role, for sure.
But he's so obvious. He's obvious in all his movies.
I just don't like that.
What's his actor's name again?
I don't even know. I recognize him, but
it'll be in the supplementals.
Anything that he did.
But I could tell you a bunch of stuff he's done.
This is a quite typecast, so he's always.
Oh yes,
the
he's always
villain.
The villain. He's always the psycho villain.
Pretty much.
Like it kind of felt like that Baby Driver, where like he sees red, and then it's just like comic book villain, and you're like, okay.
I really liked the general more than I liked him.
Yeah.
The 5-star general who's just very pragmatic about his power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the scientist.
There's a lot to enjoy in this film, but it is not for anybody but Del Toro. He made it for him and anybody else who might like it, because it's very violent, very adult.
See, I didn't think it was very violent. Like, I mean, I covered my eyes during the two, like, finger moments.
Two finger moments. One of the villain's fingers are becoming gangrenous during the film, and he rips them off at one point. And also, there's some shooting, and there's this blood. It's not a fantasy for the family.
He eats a cat.
Yeah. And speaking of he doesn't eat a cat.
The fish eat the cat.
The fish hero.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we move on from that one, or should we still keep yelling about it?
I would like to mention the ending really sucked.
Why do you say sucked?
Excuse, no way.
Why do you say that?
Well, so at the the ending sort of like unravels at the end, where he finds out they're the cleaners.
Yeah.
The first thing he did was went to.
Oh, the fact that it was the husband of Octavia, like that's
sucked.
I was just like, are you fucking? And then when he also found the calendar in the room. I was just as soon as she wrote it, I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. And see, so that's the second part.
Yeah,
the third point is like he came in at the end. You know, first of all, he came in at the end. He had the gun, so he punched the guy first instead of shooting him.
Then
shoot the other two, and then that's it. And then again with all kinds of things, it's like, if you're gonna knock the guy down,
if you're not,
get rid of the gun.
Yeah.
If you don't get rid of the gun, so they could have the scene develop differently where he had the gun and shoot the fish again.
But I was so relieved by that time that the movie was finally ending.
And also, like, the police, come on. I mean, if you're gonna, like,
the
police came up, showed up.
Actually, it was the military.
Anything.
It was the unit. It was
okay,
the unit
the
from
unit,
the military.
It would be the same.
No,
like, they just left him dead.
Yeah, they just said, oh, we never liked that guy and we like you people because, but you're right, the whole right. movie's a fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, towards the end, it kind of unravels, and I didn't really like that.
Yeah, for all of you, for all of you people who haven't seen it.
It wasn't grounded.
Yeah, I can understand. I can understand again why you, Miko, didn't like it, and I can also understand why you, Jen, did. And I agree with both of you. Now, let's get away from this non-family fantasy and go into a family fantasy.
Well, do you want to go with Jumanji?
Yes.
Okay.
Jumanji is a family fantasy.
Miko and I haven't seen Jumanji.
I saw Jumanji.
I have no intention of seeing it.
Which is a shame. Again, you're always choosing.
I mean, I will watch it like when it's for free available at my library.
And I think you will enjoy it because
it's a perfect
what you just have something against what's his name, right?
No, I like The Rock.
Not The Rock, the other guy.
Jack Black. I don't like Jack Black.
Kevin Hart.
You don't like Kevin Hart.
No, I don't mind.
You don't mind it.
I don't mind it. No.
You, when you were talking about how you wouldn't go see this, she says I don't watch that comedian normally. Why would I go to a movie with that?
No, I didn't say that. Okay. I said like I tend to like these type of comedies.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching them, but I usually don't pay for them.
It is.
Because
that's good.
I don't
that's
encourage them.
Yeah, that's kind of
I think you will enjoy it. It's a great movie. It's a great plane movie. It's a great movie to see on a plane.
For me, it's like
it's
when,
a great movie
when
to see at home
like
on
Lady
TV.
Bird and like Call Me By Your Name are in theaters.
Right.
It's like I want to put my money more towards them than these
Jumanji.
That I know are kind of going to be fine.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is a charming... I saw it just before I saw The Shape of Water.
How does it compare to Sathura? That's what we really want to know.
It's the difference is if you like The Rock, you'll like this.
I mean, Scorpion King. What's not to
he
like?
He produced this.
He produced this.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, really?
This. Yes.
Interesting.
He's in some other. Did you see the trailer? He's in some other movie where there's giant animals.
Yep.
And I'm just like.
No, not Hercules. This new one.
Not Hercules.
It's like, there's a new
the
one.
New video game one. The one based on the video game. Yeah, it's based on
Rampage.
Rampage.
Oh. Okay.
Rampage. Based on a video game.
And I was like, you literally just changed out of one like wild man shirt, like you know, safari shirt into another safari.
It's the same company that it's the same production company that did San Andreas. So like,
right.
It's
The Rock does what
I'm
he wants to do.
I'm assuming it's his company.
Yeah. So Jake Kasdan, who directed Walk Hard and did television episodes of Fresh Off the Boat, New Girl, and Grindr, son of Lawrence Kasdan, one of the writers of some of the Star Wars movies, is the director. Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinkner, who did Zoo and the Dark Tower, did the screen.
Hell is Zoo? I don't know.
Zoo is a television series.
Oh, okay.
Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, who did Ant-Man, Spider-Man, and Lego Batman, were the main writers. And so you already know where the film is coming from. It is a sweet, fun. It is the opposite. It is the yang, I guess. Yeah, it's the yang to The Shape of Water's yin, because The Shape of Water didn't care whether it satisfied you or not. All Jumanji cares about is satisfying you. They just want you to enjoy it and have fun. There wasn't a moment in Jumanji where I got bored. It was done to a schematic that The Rock had learned, that he had learned was a satisfying way to create a plot. To give you a little character, a little warmth, a little humor, a little action, and it all worked. It all culminated.
That sounds like everything that pissed me off about Guardians 2.
Oh, well, there you go.
Where it's just like check boxes of like character development that they needed to do.
But it's still done with charm. It's not
Guardians too.
Right. It's not done in a mercenary way. Again, I was telling the guys at Comedy Film Nerds that the difference between the DC comic universe and the Marvel comic universe is one company has affection and respect for its audience and its characters, and the other one just wants to exploit them and take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference here. They weren't doing it because they were going, we're just going to create entertainment for idiots. They said, we're going to do this because we like to make people happy. We like to make ourselves happy. We like to deliver. So you have The Rock and Kevin Hart, who have worked together before. It was nice seeing you. Take care. Call if you want to go see Star Wars. And if you like The Rock, you like Jack Black, you like Kevin Hart, and Karen Gillan.
Yeah, how is she?
She's awesome. I've always liked her ever since Doctor Who, which was her first major. She played Amy Pond during the 11th Doctor's tenure. And I've always liked her, and I like her in Guardians of the Galaxy, where she plays the...
Nebula.
The semi-evil sister, the occasional...
Really?
Yeah, the frenemy.
Oh, I could not have guessed it.
And she also was one of the, in one of the Selfie, that one of the most beloved canceled... canceled too soon.
Oh,
sitcoms.
I like Selfie. Yeah.
Oh, with, Selfie. I remember.
Yeah. So she.
Johnny.
Jonathan Sean or something.
Not Jonathan Sean.
I didn't remember.
Johnny.
Sorry.
No, Johnny. No. The guy from Star Wars. Not Star Wars. Star Trek.
Look who's fucking up now.
Well, I'm always fucking up on those two. But anyway, again in the supplementals.
Sorry,
it's
that
amazing.
Audio spike.
It's Cho.
Like,
his name is
Cho.
Yeah. Cho. Yeah. I think. Okay. Johnny Cho.
Johnny Cho. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Johnny.
So anyway, so she's in it. And she's delightful, and they give them a lot of interesting things to do. But, and there are two major fight scenes. There's a lot of action
scenes.
I'm sorry.
I was worried about her because one of the things that they do lately is, like, they'll throw the girl in a belly shirt. They'll acknowledge the, like, this is just what it was back then. And then it's like...
Well, the whole show is based on... Her whole character is based on that whole situation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, how was it handled?
It was. I thought it was handled very well. I thought everything was handled very well.
She was
except
boy?
No, whole thing is that these kids get sucked into a video game
and become their polar opposites. And so,
she
was a nerd before she went in, and now she's standing there going, why am I in a leather, gauntlet and short shorts in the jungle?
But then she, it empowers her, it seems, from the...
Well, all of them have powers.
Okay.
It's kind of like a lot of women, it's like a character like Lara Croft from Tomb Raider, it's kind of gets two reactions from women. Yeah. It gets the, this is, whatever, she's being sexualized.
They're trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Dude, she's a badass, whatever, and it's kind of like...
They handle it the same way they handle it with everybody. Because the other character, which the Jack Black character, she was a selfie-obsessed and self-indulgent beauty in school who turns into Jack Black in this fantasy world.
So
she has her change as well.
Okay.
So it was nicely balanced. However, they had they have a lot of action scenes, which were fine and good, but they had two major fight scenes. One was The Rock, where his character... Who's a nerd in real life, insecure Jewish nerd, who becomes this huge, muscular guy, where he discovers his fighting power. And it's clear, even though the supervising stunt coordinator is Gary Himes, who's been around since 1978, 113 credits, again, as a driver, stunt coordinator, and also as a stuntman. Even though he's credited as the stunt coordinator, the fight scene with The Rock is clearly... controlled, like most of the rest of the film, by The Rock himself. And as such, it is delightful. It is delightful because he's doing the same kind of thing he did in Fast and Furious, which he sees establishing himself as the wrestler, the superstar wrestler, Hercules, demigod type of fighter. So he's not going to be subtle. But he announces everything because also the character that he's playing, the Jewish nerd, is a veteran and obsessed video game player. He understands what he's dealing with, so he starts narrating what he's doing, and it works extremely well. Now, there's another person credited in the movie. His name is Nito Larioza. He has 123 credits in TV and film. He's also a stunt coordinator and performer, but in this movie, he is credited as the dance fight choreographer.
Was there dance fighting? Oh my God, was there a dance scene in this movie?
Wait a minute.
Oh my God.
I'm leaving this up to you.
Is this like a mini game in Jumanji now?
Hold on. Just listen to me. I'm going to give you a task here. Hi guys, I want you to work on my film. And I have a character who's one of their powers. There's a moment in the movie where they each touch their left breast, and then they're able to see what their powers and weaknesses are as video game characters. Karen Gillan's character does it, and she sees dance fighting as one of her powers. All right, so I'm asking you two, as my choreographers who I'm hiring for this film, how are you going to picture the dance fight for me? I tell you, she's a dance fighter. How are you going to picture? She has two major dance fight sequences. How are you going to do that for me? Tell me how you're going to do that for me. Sell me on your dance fighting credit so I can hire one of the two of you. Go ahead. Miko, you first.
I'll go first?
Yeah, you go first. Unless you want to go first, Jen.
Oh, you can go first.
I'll probably go with something like classical dancing type of thing where she's dodging a lot of the attacks and she whips and slaps the other proponent. I don't know.
I would do the thing from the episode of Avatar The Last Airbender where Aang and Katara dance in the Fire Nation and they're kind of doing like kung fu moves, but like it's still like a dance kind of thing.
Okay.
That's what I would
do. All right, and how would you do it with the music? In other words,
You do it with the music.
You do it with the music,
yeah,
but
definitely
in what way do you do it with the music? You just have the music play?
No, you follow the beats.
You follow the beats in what way? I mean, in other words, on the beat you punch, on the beat you kick, on the beat you dodge. How do you set up the situation so it's an exciting and unusual scene?
I think Thor Ragnarok really hit that, where it's like, I wouldn't want to choreograph exactly to the music and make it like a music video, because I wouldn't want to do that, because we do that in all of our movies. But like,
did you do it in Ferdinand?
Wait till you see Ferdinand.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Okay. The whole episode was worth it just for that.
But like, I think Thor Ragnarok really like elevated that kind of like, like the epic music, and then like just the money shot of the fight about to start, like that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I had a problem with Thor Ragnarok because again, they didn't fight in character.
See, the difference, like what we just pitched, sort of, is that my pitch is that the dance will be the most important thing, sort of like the foundations, and then the fight kind of like using the dancing.
What would make a dance fight sequence different from a fight sequence other than the addition of music?
I think the style of moves.
Yeah, style of moves, definitely.
And, like, the character's mentality. Like, why? I mean, I guess in this, it's kind of awkward because it's not, like, a choice that the character has.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, just a forced style that they have to adapt. And that's kind of, like, contradictory of what, like, you always talk about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how do you balance the two? And I don't know if the people who made this were necessarily thinking that deeply about it.
They certainly weren't.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the deal. It's the same thing. Neither of you get the job, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm keeping, you know.
That's fair.
I should have known. I was hoping. When I saw the credit, dance fight choreographer, I got pretty excited.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, there's dance and there's fight and there's choreography. And here, she needs the music to become a dance fighter.
Of course.
But she might as well not be a dancer, because all she does is fight to the music. That's all she does. She doesn't do anything that's dance-oriented. It's just music playing while she's punching, kicking,
and
flipping.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That's disappointing.
It was disappointing. Yeah. She was fine, though. I liked her. I thought she did a good job. I know she had two stunt people, and I'll have their names on the supplementals. But I was very disappointed in her fight scene. But all in all, I thought the movie was enjoyable, especially now after having seen Shape of Water. I am very happy I saw Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle before I saw Shape of Water. Or I would have been happy to see Jumanji after Shape of Water.
I was going to say,
they're perfect balances for
each
other.
It's hard not to like a film that The Rock's in. The Rock is like Terry Crews. It's just those two people in a film. It's the film's very enjoyable.
Terry Crews is an Ice Age 5.
What?
He's an Ice Age 5.
I said,
but it wasn't him.
Yeah,
it was in his character.
Did you like him?
Yeah,
I did actually like his character.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Terry, I'd love to see the two of them in a movie. That'd be lovely. And also,
he's always delightful.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. They try very hard to supply you what you want. Now, so there you go. Now let's get to the heart of the matter.
Oh my God.
This is where we diverge.
I don't think we will.
I think we're all kind of on the same page. We'll see.
Are we?
I think we are.
Rigby likes it.
I think into different, because he's a Disney file.
And also, not just because of that, because somebody else said, I liked it because I'm a Star Wars file. Neither of those are necessarily true.
I say I'm a Star Wars file, but I'm
a great
fucking dignity.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. The fact that there are three people in a room with two or maybe three opinions is the reason I like it so much. Here's the deal. Go ahead. Who wants to go first?
Oh, man.
I'm going to wrap up because I have that long story. I have a Bill Frakey story.
All right. I'll go first because I'm very in the middle.
Perfect. Say that, and then you're going to say a lot of bad things.
Then
and
you're
yeah, yeah, but then I also, because it's easier to talk about the bad things than the good things.
Go ahead.
Okay, where do I start with Star Wars?
Where do you start with Star Wars?
Okay, so for me, my main issue, and I know this is like everybody's main issue, was that it was two films kind of running side by side.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind that because most Star Wars films kind of jump around, and I appreciate that they still keep those like dorky kind of camera swipes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't really mind that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with Rey's parents was predictable, but I really liked, I appreciated that
and
she came from nothing.
And also, it's not finished. It's not
and
finished.
I mean, it's, yeah, I hope it's nothing, though. Like, I like the idea that, like, you can come from nothing and still be something. It's such a nice,
yeah,
refreshing
no,
thing
is.
From the whole Chosen One bullshit that we just mm-hmm. are thrown into constantly.
Yeah, like, the whole family, like, the world
I
needs
really
to be saved by the
whole
Skywalkers.
The whole thing with her and Kylo, I really enjoyed that. Emperor Snoke was kind of annoying. I'm like, what will become of that?
There's nothing coming of that.
I mean, I know, but I like wanted it to be more. I was kind of, I usually like, what's his face who plays, from Ex Machina? Oh my god. Domhnall Gleeson? His character was like...
His character becomes so effing cartoony.
Like,
in this one.
I didn't mind, like, the prank call at the beginning was fine, like, because, like, you know, Star Wars, they dick around with each other in past film, like, it's fine, but, like, he, like, progressed
no, this whole film, the jokes are all cartoony.
Well, yeah,
all
the
jokes.
I mean, the jokes, I mean, the thing that I always liked about
Star
Wars...
Not all of the jokes.
...is that
pretty
much I always liked
I
how
agree.
There was, like, always just kind of this level of, like, casual violence in Star Wars films, but I felt like this time around, they kind of needed to constantly throw in these awkward jokes to kind of like lighten the mood where it's like, oh, like, you know, this mm-hmm. random thing happened, but like here, like even something like the Porgs where it's like, which were like, whatever.
They were certainly better than the Ewoks.
But like the, with the Porgs, you know, where it's like, oh, the joke, like it's like he ate a Porg and then it's like cut to this really like longly held shot on this crying Porg and you're just like, get over it. Like it's a bird.
You know what? But you know what would be funny is that Chewie looks at it looks at the thing and he takes a
but
bite.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be funnier.
That's what I'm saying though. In past ones, like he would have taken a bite.
Yeah.
But this time, like they kind of like were like, oh, like we showed some violence, but like we're not gonna go all the way.
Right.
This one was basically Empire Strikes Back. Like for me it was, it killed me because like the second one, it takes place on an ice world, and then this one it was like a salt world, and it was like I don't know. It was like a you know how like it was like The Force Awakens was a remake of the I was like they keep just they're just remaking it.
That's right. They're not.
I was really satisfied with the fight with like that was like the one thing like I try not to go into these expectations, but the one thing I wanted to see, even if like for a fleeting moment, I wanted to see Rey and Kylo like team. Like I just wanted to see two lightsaber wielders like going to town together.
That was pretty good.
So that was really satisfying.
No, that was the action.
That was
very good.
It's just fun to see like them fight together.
Yep.
Luke, I don't know how I feel about Luke. The whole darkness thing with Rey, like, I kind of thought it was kind of... I get what they were going for, but I didn't really feel like they really got it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to explore that more. Like, I think it's
they
also
will.
Really interesting, because it is, like, Star Wars was in a time where things were so black and white, and now we're kind of in this gray, where, like, I get that the whole thing, you know, Snoke said that he had kind of forced them to, their minds to connect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I totally, like, you know.
You can't believe anything anybody
says. Yeah, where it's like, how much of that was real, how much of that was Kylo.
Mm-hmm.
You know that there's a good aspect in him. I love that Leia used her, like, force sensitivity in the beginning, but I thought it was a little bit too much for, like, how little we've seen that, even in, like, the past films, and, like, I think they could have hinted at it. Like, we always knew that she had it, but, like, it was always a sense more so than, like, an action, and I get maybe because she, like, was dying that it, like, came up, but, like, that hasn't ever happened before. I love that Yoda was there. But then he, like, lightning bolts, and I'm like, what can you do? Like, you're a ghost, but okay.
You're one with
what
the Force.
What are the rules?
You're one with the Force.
I thought Luke's explanation of the Force was really contrived, and I, like, didn't appreciate it, actually.
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about either.
I was, like, really upset by that. I want to know more about the Knights of Ren, because I'm like, where are they at?
They've got many, many films to do. Do you want to go, Miko?
Oh, man. See, but that wasn't all complaining. I tried to throw in some.
No, you weren't.
I'm really excited for
you
the
You encapsulated
next one.
my whole point of view very nicely, which I'll get to. Go ahead, Miko.
I like Rose. I wanted to see more of
Rose.
Oh,
she's awesome.
Yeah, she's
awesome.
Yeah. She was awesome.
The whole casino thing,
like
Benicio del Toro,
the whole
casino
thing was redundant.
Yeah, and like the whole like rampage through the street, like I understood it in terms of like equality.
Okay. One of the biggest thing about that rampage scene, like, okay, spoilers obviously, but
obviously.
A little late for that,
But like by the end, when they, like, sort of, like, everything, you know, a new hope, it's sort of like a new hope type of thing, where, like, oh, like, the Luke's dead, but sort
he's
of,
not
like,
dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's
part of the
with
force.
The, yeah, he's part of the force.
So he's a ghost now. He can summon lightning whenever he wants.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's fine, but...
I love that Yoda was a puppet, sorry.
Yes.
Me too.
Me too, yeah.
And Frank Oz.
I appreciate that very much.
And Frank Oz doing the voice. Yeah.
But the fact that, like, all the kids that... help Finn and them releasing the animals not getting killed or punished at all at the end of the film, I feel like that's the biggest fuck you that they can give you.
Oh, well, see, I kind of bought that because
how can you buy that?
Because it's like these random, like, you know, criminals show up and they cause all this havoc. What are these kids
because
supposed
they're master
to do?
I think they'd established that the master is cruel to the animals but not to the humans.
I mean,
the kids, like, live in the stables with the animals. Yeah. So I think if someone's going to steal your animals, like, what can you... This kid, I think that was kind of, like, what can you do?
I didn't have a problem.
I don't buy that.
For me, it was more like, I wish they had taken them with them. Like, I was kind of like, you literally just said how, like, you're basically in, like, forced labor as a child. Yes, they could have. They could have taken them on the ship. They could have brought them. Instead, she left the ring with
him. Let's bring back
to the kid. You saw the kid had some force.
That's why they showed it at the end.
Yeah.
But, like, because they showed it at the end, I was like, they're not getting any punishment out of all of this. It's bullshit
for me. Captain Phasma was such a fucking waste.
Oh, yeah.
What is the point of casting her?
And what's the point of bringing her back?
It was such a mockery, I felt like. Like, because now she's dead. Like, I mean, they didn't...
She might not be dead.
She might come back as, like, a robot cyborg, you know, whatever.
No, she might come back as her.
She's going to have a big scar on the face.
Oh, but that reminds me, like, Laura Dern's character.
That was pretty good.
I like Laura Dern's character. The purple-haired girl.
I love Del Toro. Oh, yeah.
I liked him, too. I'm just, like, he plays himself.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but the character. I love his character. As a matter of fact, his final speech, I thought was just effing genius. But here's the deal.
I kind of thought that the whole thing with his introduction, though, I thought was kind of weird.
That was fascinating.
They were like, oh, like, find the person with the lapel, blah, 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 and then it's, like, in jail, and it's this whole thing, and you're just like, is it him? Is it not him? Like,
and I wasn't sure whether he was an agent, because what happens in jails is they put in fakes. They put in undercover people. So I couldn't tell whether he was an actual mercenary.
Yeah, towards the end, they didn't mention it. They didn't mention anything about it.
For me, it was just, that was a really interesting, like, plot line that, like, I felt like they kind of just, like, it just trailed off and, like, nothing ever came of it.
I think there's a reason for it. Well, here's...
This is the middle movie. Like, it's going to suffer. Not everything can be Two Towers.
Yeah, two things, exactly. Or Empire Strikes Back. Here's the deal. In 1977, one of the great cinematic moments of my life was playing hooky from college and going to see... we couldn't get there early enough to see the first showing of Star Wars at the Los Astor Plaza in New York, but we arrived, me and my college buddies, for the second show. And we stood online hearing the first show going on and getting increasingly excited than seeing the movie. It was probably, outside of seeing Dr. No in 1962 as my first adult film, it's one of the most memorable and important cinematic experiences I've ever had. It also led to my first novel. I had ghostwritten novels in the Destroyer series, but the first actual novel with my name on it I wrote was a book called Doomstar, which was, in the time, I was really into science fiction at the time, and it was the end of the golden age of science fiction literature, where giants were working, like Frank Herbert with Dune, and Isaac Asimov with Foundation, and Arthur C. Clarke with 2001. It was the end of that era, but nobody was doing space fantasy. They were all doing these really super heavy, wonderful, magnificent, meaty science fiction books. So I decided, inspired by Star Wars, that I was going to write a space fantasy. So I wrote Doomstar, which was originally called The Sound of Silent Thunder, but it was published as Doomstar twice, once by Warner's, once by a small company called Carlyle. And because Hollywood got all excited about space fantasy at that point, you know, then the first Battlestar Galactica show comes on, the Buck Rogers is brought back and all the rest of it, there was interest in my little book.
Oh, to option it?
For option. And first a small company in New York, an animation company, optioned it. And then I got a call that Disney was interested. And I went out, and I was also at that time, because of Star Wars, I got onto the staff of Starlog magazine, an ultimately famous Monsters of Filmland. And so I was working at that, but at the same time, Disney calls me because they want to talk to me about optioning Doomstar. Mm-hmm. So I go into Disney and I meet the head of Disney Animation at that time, who was, bless you, remarkably named Donald Duckwall.
Oh, I've heard about him.
I went, you could not have worked for Warner Brothers with a name like that. You would have had to have changed it to Daffy Duckwall. And he went, oh, yeah, I've never heard that joke before. But anyway, had a wonderful time. And I went in and I sat down with the story person. Beautiful office. Never forget it. Had a wonderful time giving him the new copy of the book.
Oh, my God. No, did they buy it? No. Disney didn't own it yet. Never mind. I was like, no. They bought it to bury it.
No, they didn't buy it to bury it.
Let's see. Sorry.
Then a movie came. So I was wondering. No, they didn't. I didn't figure they were going to make Doomstar. But then a movie called Treasure Planet came out. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen Treasure Planet. Have you seen Treasure Planet?
The Ron and John directed one?
Yes.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
Well, there you go. I have to see it because I want to see if there's anything from Doomstar in it. Because I go see The Last Jedi. I'm already sort of like, all right, I've heard all the criticisms of The Force Awakens and Rogue One and about how it's a reboot and it's a remake and they didn't do anything daring and they didn't do anything special and they didn't move ahead. And I start watching.
Wait, people said that about this one?
No, they said it about Force Awakens.
Oh, okay.
Force Awakens.
Yeah,
and so they're all saying, yeah. So I go to see this one and I start smiling. And I'm going, OMG. What they're letting Rian Johnson get away with is, I mean, everybody, oh, they're always, you know, even you were saying they all the time. You were saying they didn't do this and they didn't do that. Rian Johnson wrote it, who also wrote and directed Brick and Looper and some excellent movies.
One of those was good.
And also the Brothers Bloom, I think he also did. Mm-hmm. They let him do what he wanted to do, which was pretty amazing that they were letting him doing it. And then up comes the casino. And there's a quarter of my Doomstar is broken into four different portions for each of the planets of the major characters. And one of those planets is Jackpot, which is the casino planet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when the casino shows up, my friends around me are going, oh, this is silly and crazy. And I'm going, this is awesome. They're letting him do a casino. And also I had just seen a One Piece Gold, which was the anime, which also took place
in a casino.
In a casino planet, a Valerian kind of casino planet.
Well, an island, right?
But with a lot of different places in it. And I'm saying, this guy is just going for it. He's just, you cannot say at any longer that it's a remake, a reboot. It has a certain surface similarity just as a middle section. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he was so daring and, you know, it's like, you know, you don't like this? Well, F you.
See, but I didn't dislike it, but I also, like, the one thing I don't get is, like, people were complaining because they were like, oh, like, people are really polarized about this movie.
They are.
Oh, like, he was taking too many risks, and then people were like, oh, he wasn't taking enough risks. Like, I didn't feel like the casino was a risk.
It wasn't done as sharply, as funnily, just like the dance fight sequence. It wasn't done as well as I think it should have been done.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was done at all.
See, but that's not like, for me, it was a good moment. You know, I didn't think it was good or bad. It was kind of just a scene.
And also the fact that it's creating this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
That people are literally taking the dark and the light side. They're literally going,
no, man, I'm gray.
Because I do, there you go. I've heard so many criticisms and so many celebrations of this movie, and I agree with every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that's why I love this movie.
But the thing is, like, you can be daring and still do a good job.
I think he did a great job.
For me, he didn't do a good job.
I think he did a great job.
He was daring. It was good. Okay.
I talked. What do you do about it?
You also mentioned a lot of points already, like, I want to mention, but I think one of the biggest plot points of this whole film is the fact that they have to chase down the rebel ship, which is BS.
Oh, that's hilarious!
Which is the movie, it's terrible, it's kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, that's the point. It was and it isn't.
It's so bad.
They couldn't go into hyperspeed or else they'd overshoot.
Exactly.
I thought it was. It was I really wanted like to, this like snail's race to
I well,
like,
yes.
Yeah,
I wanted
really
you guys
funny.
To be with me because
no,
if
but
you
the
had
thing
saw
is, like,
me, you sit here, Jen, and you sit here, Miko, and if you looked at me at any point during that film,
you just cackle.
What you would have seen was me going,
see, but the thing
I
is,
cannot
like,
believe
okay,
he's
so
doing
in the beginning,
this.
But in the beginning, like, Kylo Ren went in and basically used his little tiny ship
to
destroy most of the stuff on the ship already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, he could have finished the job.
And then,
hey, they didn't.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, that's it. That's like, hey, you're like, oh, just like convenience.
Yeah.
That's first. Second thing is, like, they have, like, yes, they have the huge ship in the middle, and that's chasing, and that's only firing, you know, once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But they have other smaller ships that could have surround, like, it would get faster. Mm-hmm. Surround the main rebel ship. They didn't do that either.
Nope.
So like, and the woman, the purple hair woman,
Laura Dern,
she could have went into the ship and set the whole ship into autopilot and keep going, but she didn't.
No.
Why? Because they needed a savior at the end. So all of those comedians.
By the end of the movie, everyone was committing suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody
that's why. That's
suicide.
Why. Like for me, like all of those comedians added together makes me dislike the film because of
yeah,
how.
But it also made me love it. Because again, it was
but why
such
did, why did
astonishing
you love that, but you know,
yeah, why do you like that, the fact that
like,
was comedian?
That's like a
that
known,
was bad,
yeah,
bad storytelling
if
for me.
Yeah.
It's not bad storytelling for me because it's a different kind of storytelling. This movie had every
but
kind
of
storytelling.
But that was like a storytelling of convenience.
It wasn't, well, no, the point is...
Like,
it's,
I understood
it's not,
why
no,
they did it.
I know what you're saying, but convenience is the wrong word. It's a storytelling where he made a specific decision. That's one of the things. I'm going to put this on the supplemental.
See, but I don't know
hold
if
on,
it's specific,
hold on.
Though.
No, I think it is specific.
Because, like, sometimes I think you give the director too much credit.
Well, here's
like,
the deal.
Like, being in a studio...
Yeah, Entertainment Weekly has been doing a laser examination of this movie. And they have so many articles getting onto specific issues that people have.
Yeah.
And every single one of them has interviews with everybody from Lucasfilm and from the writer-director.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was done... Because they
of
ran into a
wall. Of course, they're not going to tell Entertainment Weekly
no,
that.
No, but even so, what they do tell Entertainment Weekly, I find credible.
Okay, so what's their reason for doing that?
Well, I will put it
I
on.
Mean,
I will
okay,
put the
I
connection.
I almost went political for a second. I was like, the GOP can justify this tax. You know, it's like they can stand there smiling and tell you whatever they want to tell you.
No.
You know, obviously, I don't mean to like.
He had so many. Rian Johnson had so many masters to serve. In this film, there were so. If you look at the reactions to the previous films,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, for sure,
yeah, and you basically, this is a.
I mean, nothing can be as bad as the prequels. I say, not believing what I'm saying.
There was one. There was a wonderful moment where, I think it was. It was John Hodgman on his podcast because they've known Rian Johnson for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Jesse, who's the host...
Is it Ryan or Rian?
I don't know. It's spelled, you know, whatever.
Oh, I know.
R-I-A-N. But anyway, the one of the host of Judge John Hodgman, not John Hodgman himself, but his host, is friends with Johnson. And he said to Johnson, isn't this terrible? Isn't this an awful pressure to be under to make, you know, to make this movie? And mm-hmm. everybody has... And, he's and according to him, Rian Johnson replied, no, this is awesome. I get to make a Star Wars movie. And as well as you know, as you probably well know at this point, he's been given three more.
Yeah.
But of
right.
his own. Not within this universe that we recognize.
Right. Which
within
is
his own.
A problem
and I applaud it.
It's not a problem. Do you know how big the Star Wars expanded universe is?
I mean,
it's annoying because Disney is like canonized certain things or like uncanonized a bunch of stuff.
Well, they can, but again, yeah. So the fact that he did this at all and the fact that he sort of went, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it with my heart and soul. And there's so much good in this, and there's so much that you're not crazy about. There's certain plot points that I'm going, oh, I wouldn't have done that. But the point is that there, it's 2.5-hour movie. Some other people, friends of mine, are complaining about the length. Unlike
the
Shape of Wind. I loved the last half hour when it became, because I'm going.
When
I'm
Laura
going,
Dern cut through their ship and it's silent, that was dope.
Oh, the fact that it was done silently? Yeah, there's so much in this I like. I'd love to see it again with your friends.
You know what?
Whatever.
I think for me, I think part of it is I've read a bunch of the Star Wars novels and graphic novels.
Which are pretty
so
good.
For me, some, and that's kind of, I think, thinking, like, talking through this now, I think that was kind of where I bumped on Rogue One, where I didn't, like, dislike Rogue One, but I didn't like it. I didn't feel like it was, like, the same elevation.
Yeah, but
I get that. But, like, I think for me, it's, like, There's a Princess Leia graphic novel that, mm-hmm. like, the what basically comes next in this, where they're stuck, or not next, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, you know, I read, there's a whole series where she's on, you know, they're stuck in this fortress, and yeah. they're stuck there, and, like, you know, people want to attack. It's basically like a bunch of these plot lines kind of smushed mm-hmm. together, and there's a girl who has a twin elsewhere, you know, in this it's yeah. Rose's twin died already. But, like, I think for me it was, like, there were so many elements being pulled from other parts of yes. the story that I kind of was just like I didn't know if I appreciated it or if I was like, just tell those stories.
You know what, like, I loved about Rogue One? That it was made not to be loved.
Yeah.
They didn't care whether you loved it. The whole, it was designed, unlike if The Rock had done Rogue One, it would have been far more satisfying.
But oh, I thought it was satisfying.
I thought it was, and it wasn't. In other words, because everybody died.
But yeah, but you knew alert. Everybody was going to die.
You didn't know, but...
Oh, you absolutely knew.
Matter of fact,
none of these people were relevant.
You knew. I didn't necessarily okay. know. Uh-huh. But then again, I understand that they have to make this movie for an audience. And one of the things they recently released, I forgot who did it, I think it was Gizmodo, put out a thing. They had a headline that said, The Last Jedi ruined my childhood.
Oh, I saw that.
And that's why it's
there's
good.
There's like a petition. Like, there's like
yeah,
a 13,000 signature petition.
But that's not the part.
To cancel it from the Star
not
Wars
to make
canon.
It canon.
And I'm like, oh
but
my
the,
God.
But the article is about the fact that that's what made it good.
Yeah.
That it was there to ruin your childhood. It's called The Last Jedi for a reason.
Yeah.
We are, you guys were all complaining that we were slavishly, not you guys, but not, there was
I
a certain,
like, excuse
there was
you.
A certain percentage to the people who grew up.
Hashtag not all fans.
Yeah, not all fans, right. There were certain people who grew up, matter of fact, one of my best friends.
I mean, that's like when people complained about
fan.
Ghostbusters being ruined because they made a new
yeah.
It's like
they just did a bad version of it.
They just did a bad job.
Yeah, they just did a bad job.
It doesn't matter about it. Like, you don't have to pay attention to the other one.
There were parts of this I didn't like. There were parts of this I loved, but I did not at any point think it was a bad job. And people were, I have another friend online who's going crazy about, oh, they just came up with all this crap because, you know, oh, you know, he was saying that, that Princess Leia not dying in space is the new piece of crap, and I'm going. I blocked him.
I'm okay with it. I do have somewhat of an anxiety of her because we know that
dead.
She passed away.
Yeah. I mean,
so
for
like,
me, it's I get really frustrated, and it's obviously this is like a super privileged problem to have
right.
when someone's actually died. Because, like, I used to really like Glee, and that was, for me, like,
right.
the main boy in Glee died, and I was right. like, well, you fucked up the actual, like, the, you know,
yeah.
the on that show, and same with Star Wars, like, there was always an ending,
right.
and then, like, you fucked up their vision.
And that was
which,
another
again,
thing.
Is very
no,
selfish.
For me, that wasn't my problem. My problem was, like, I was having some anxiety
yeah.
seeing, like, how
well,
would they send her off if you let me finish?
No, because
never?
Like, they said
right?
these films,
you heard it so far?
Each of these films was supposed to
count.
Focus on one of them. Like, the first film
I don't,
was about Han Solo.
I know,
this
I'm not talking
about Luke, and the third one was supposed to be about Leia.
I know,
and
but
now I'm never
going to
get that story.
But that's not their fault, and the fact
that's
they didn't
fault,
kill
yeah.
her, the fact that they didn't kill her, I was delighted by.
Yeah, but now knowing that they're not going to reconstruct her digitally.
Because I didn't have the expectation of this structure.
We'll wait to see.
So
they said they
excellent.
Wouldn't.
Well, that's fine. But be that as it may, this is the reason I thought it was such a great movie, and I loved it so much, even though I didn't love it so much. I agree with every single criticism, except for the stupid ones. And I
like, did we say
none of your stupid ones.
I
no.
was like, what
these
are mine
all
stupid? Bad.
No, he pointed at me.
No. I'm talking about the guys I blocked on the internet who come up with these ridiculously stupid, unfair.
I like the crystal foxes because I like foxes. Like, boom.
Yeah, and again, they came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things. No, let me put it this way.
But that's fine, though.
This is
that's
there's
like
a lot
the
of things.
Of the
Nico,
world.
Could you let me talk?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
I was like, that's my job to cut people off.
Here we go. The bottom line for this one is there are a lot of things I needed to forgive this movie for, but I forgave them.
Oh,
every
for like you as like an
time.
Old-timey fan.
Yeah, not no, because I'm not an old-timey fan. I like good movies.
Okay.
I don't care what you know.
Oh, okay. I get
ultimately,
what you're
Star Wars of the whole series, I only think there are only three good ones. That's the original, The Empire Strikes Back, and this one.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones I care less and less about.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that those guys are signing the petition to not make this official canon, and you're going to keep the three prequels as official canon?
Yeah.
I mean, have you forgotten how bad those were? Yeah, we've gotten those completely.
That's what kills me, is that, like, regardless of your opinion, and I know I'm really quick to, like, dismiss a movie like I just did with Rian Johnson's Looper because I didn't really like it. But it's like, just.
It's good, though.
I mean, I don't know.
You didn't like it either?
I mean, Brick was
like
awesome.
It. It has some problems.
Yeah, Brick was awesome. Yeah, it has some problems.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying, though, where it's like, regardless of how much you like or dislike a film, like, at the end of, and I think this is kind of a weird thing, especially now with, like, you know, like, us right now with this podcast and, like, just YouTube and just, like, social media creating all of these casual armchair critics, which, like, that's not to say that they shouldn't do what they're doing.
No.
But it's like.
But it's gotten toxic.
The act of making a film is, like, such an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like what you said, like the fact that it pulls this much out of us, it's just like that alone is something to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah. It's a remarkable film. It's an extraordinary film for good or ill. It's extraordinary and it's remarkable in the literal translations of those words. And I look forward to seeing it again, or not. But I thought it was very special and amazing.
I can appreciate that, like, a giant mega conglomerate is able to make a film that, like, pulls this out of people. Like, I don't know, like, a lot, because I think a lot of big blockbusters now, again, but it's like, for me, it's like Jumanji is something like Star Wars is still, like, such a
thing. It has
such
a legacy. Compare, yeah, that's exactly why it pulls so much out of people.
Yeah.
Because there are expectations. There are people who going in because of the last one. Like, I would enjoy the last one. I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I just watch it for the story and then, like, the enjoying for the entertainment. For this one, like, the reason why I say I don't hate it, because it's so weird. Overall, I liked it, but if I take it away, there's so many parts I can take away that I don't like.
That's true. However, they're all clearly the director-writer's vision, and they let him do it. Because in Disney, as you know, there's a lot of complaints now that, you know, when Miller and Lord were taken off Solo and Ron Howard was put on.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think they were taken off, I think they left.
Well, whatever the case is, in this case, this is Johnson's movie.
But that's what I'm saying, though, where it's like, I get what you're saying, and I agree to an extent, but, like, again, like, it sounds like there are limits.
Yes, of course there are limits.
But that's what I'm saying. But then it's like, how much of that, like, how much of this is one person's film?
Well, quick.
Like, if Chris and Phil, you know, left Solo, you know, like, there are people who have built their careers on taking risks with and I get, like, they've taken risks with, like, lesser known properties or, like, lesser, like, you know, put on pedestals. But again, after the prequels, it was like, kind of like, who was Star Wars to really have an ego? Like, they just had to come out, they just had to make a decent film.
Right.
That was like, the bar was
But how do
low.
You make a decent film given this kind of pressure?
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm saying, though. And then that was what this one suffered from, because, like, Force Awakens was so well received. Again, regardless of the prequels, just in general, as, like, a fun movie.
I just admired the fact that given all of that, they said, go, do it. You know, let's not kiss anybody's butt. Let's just do what we want to do.
I'm just saying, I don't think that's true for everything.
No, I don't think it is.
Even within the Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, again, in the interviews that they've done with him on Entertainment Weekly, I mean, specifically on that, on Princess Leia using the Force to survive the vacuum of space, they said, yeah, we've been talking about this for quite some time. And should we do it? And ultimately the studio said, do what you want to do. Do what you think is best. And I went, oh yeah, I give big a thumbs up. I mean, because Jumanji, much as I enjoyed it, it was clearly, you know, a corporate,
like,
it was Sony's
lab.
Desire to
yeah.
please an audience.
For sure.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
How do you feel about Luke immediately when it cuts back to Luke and Rey, Luke throw the lightsaber down for a cheap joke?
When they first catch up from the last scene, he grabs the lightsaber and
he throws it back for a joke.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
A literal throwaway joke.
It's a little throwaway. I felt fine.
You felt fine? See, for me, as a viewer, I really don't like that. Prequels, or one of the reasons why I didn't quite like
how, like, quick they are to, like, dismiss.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like, dismiss. They, such an important.
But they didn't.
Such an important.
Well,
like,
Luke did. Yeah.
He literally threw away his past.
Yeah.
She went and got it, as he knew she would.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
the joke I was a little unsure about was when she knocks down the rocks and it ruins the natives' cart, knocks the cart off into the ocean. I'm going, well, that was kind of a cheap joke, but okay.
I mean, there were a lot of those.
That was fine, but like for me, because the last one, again, like if a movie links up with another film previously, that moment was such a heavy, such a moment for the first one to become a throwaway joke.
And we still
for me,
how,
I didn't think
kills, how
kills
that
a
back?
Lot.
I don't think. I don't think.
We still don't know how the light.
Like
I mean, whatever.
He could
well, she found it. She found it in the cave.
No. It called to her from Maz. But I'm saying how Maz got a hold of it.
Well,
but I'm saying that might not matter because it just passes.
Yeah, and also I didn't think of it as a throwaway joke at all. I was thinking how would you have handled that? I mean, in other words, I thought of it as
I wouldn't just have it like throw away and like it, again the throwing away part. It's fine. Like it's that. That move, I guess, that decision was fine. But the fact that the way that they execute it, make it into a joke, that's not fine with me.
That was completely fine with me. I also liked it because it reminded me of Indiana Jones shooting the guy. You know, it was kind of like I wanted that moment of leavening because it is so heavy. Mm-hmm. And also it might have been something I do. And that's another thing that reminded me again of what this movie was willing to do, which was to show the confrontation between Kylo and Luke from three different angles. They showed it from Kylo's angle, they showed it from Luke's angle, and they showed it from, I think, Yoda's angle. And it was like, my God, I mean, this movie is just shooting for the moon. It is not for a want of ambition that this movie fails. This movie doesn't fail.
I think this movie failed Finn.
How so?
Like his arc was kind of whatever.
Oh yeah, he was.
Poe had a good arc.
He was one of the most boring characters in the whole thing.
I know, but again, there's more movies, and one of the things I liked about the Gizmodo article that this did ruin my childhood, that's why it's great, is that now we're done.
Where's my checkbox?
Luke is part of the Force. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to move on. And the people who I feel are complaining the most about this movie are the ones who don't want to move on. They want the next one to be about Leia. They want that the next one to be.
Well, because it was supposed
done.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
but not
yes,
anymore.
For.
Yeah, but that's. But
I
saying,
agree
like, that's,
for.
That's frustrating, though.
I agree for fans, but like for me, as someone who just enjoys watching good movies, it wasn't that well done.
That's true. But I think it was extremely well done, just not something you enjoy.
I mean, I think for me, like again, like one of the things I get really angry about is when like
it was special.
Like Blade, like the newest Blade Runner, where it was like clearly setting up for another one, but then it didn't pull
that will
in
never
enough.
Come.
Yeah, so yeah. For me, I'm just like, cool, I have all these questions, and like, what's his face? Like the main villain, I forgot his name. Oh my God, who plays the Joker in fucking Suicide
Squad?
Whatever. Like Jared Leto.
It'll be in the
stuff.
Yeah.
Where I was kind of just like, okay, like he was a total waste, you know, whatever, and like now I'm never gonna know what his point was. Where it's like, I don't care what's gonna. I mean, obviously, I care what's gonna happen in the next Star Wars, but it's like, cool, make this a complete film.
The biggest problem I had with this movie was also the biggest surprise, which was the dealing with Snoke.
Yeah, Snoke, that was, for me, again,
that was
like
super weird.
For me, if a lot of people have been having discussions whether or not that his story might be turned into comic or whatever.
Yeah,
as, like,
there's plenty of room for everything.
Shouldn't be an issue for moviegoers ever. I personally feel like that's why I didn't like Ragnarok, because the whole thing is like you should know the whole backstory of how Hulk become Hulk.
Right.
Like for me, like
Planet
that
Hulk, yeah.
I didn't like it because it's just I want a film. When I go watch a film, even as a trilogy, maybe because it's incomplete because it's a trilogy.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's incomplete in that sense where it rubs that joy from you, it's at
when
that
they
like
kill
it.
When they kill Snoke one movie early, it's kind of like I sort of said, I don't know about this, but that's what excited me.
But that's fine.
That's what excited me.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm perfectly fine with Snoke getting killed in the second film. It's just the way he died and the sort of, like, the lack of explanation and the throwaway of him as a character. That, like, makes me unhappy. I'm totally fine with the fact that, like, on the third film, there isn't an overlord on top of everything.
Again,
it's really just, like, Kylo Ren, which is, like quote-unquote, like, amateur.
Right.
And then Rey as amateur, like, battling
out
in the third film.
It's similar to Coco in that when that movie took its plot turn, I went, I don't know about this. You know, when murder suddenly intruded, I don't know about this.
But
that was exciting.
But there's a slow build up for it, though.
Yeah, but it's all.
But Snoke, it wasn't that he was so powerful, and
he was a generic villain.
That's what I don't like about him.
He was, and that's why I think
I don't like generic.
That's
villains.
Why I think Johnson killed him.
See, but the thing
said,
is, like,
this is just a film for Darth Vader.
I mean, unfortunately, like, I'm like not to diss
this
him as a director. Any director that like can't like throw away a villain because they can't develop it well enough, that's not a good.
It's not that he can't. He didn't want to.
Why not?
Because he wanted it to be about the characters
that's
he wanted
fine,
it to be about.
But like, you still have to give a satisfying ending to the audience. I don't know.
But again,
for me,
that's why
I think it's like, I understand why as a director he was like, this isn't my problem. But as someone in the middle of a 3-film series,
I'm fine with him killing on the second one though. I'm totally fine.
Saying,
it's
like,
the way he like,
but that's
just
saying,
like
though.
Get rid, like the way they're like, oh, okay,
it
we
was
need
a
this
surprise.
Moment, and then kill Dan.
It was a surprise. It was a clear surprise, and also he didn't do it alone. He had the blessings of the studio. It's
oh,
not like
sure.
he said, I'm
of
just going to kill him. They went, no, you mustn't. He goes, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm, you know. And the fact that, again, it was another one of those throwaway the lightsaber jokes when the top half of his body came off. Because I've always hated the way the Emperor gets killed in Return of the Jedi. So all of it was amazing
to me.
Reminded
me of Darth Maul.
Yeah, all of it. Well, Darth Maul was.
Darth Maul gets sliced in half, and then like his two pieces
right.
tumbling down like a big air shaft. And you're just like, well, it kind of made it funny in like a fucked up way.
I was going to also say like the fact that when he was sort of enjoying himself, talking about Kylo, like how much he know, how much he can feel Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Like that was good and bad for me at the same time.
For me, that made it really obvious.
Perfect
like,
example.
He was supposed to. He was supposed to sense how Kylo Ren felt. Then he should sense that as well.
Yeah.
Like his intention as well.
Well, that's why I wasn't sure if he was the one who linked them, and he was like kind of just like a passive observer in their conversations. It's kind of like, how did you not see like?
I don't think he can observe their conversation.
I'm
he
not
just
saying,
la-
like, literally.
He's responsible.
Like he's dropping, like he's chilling
Linking.
In the corner.
I love this movie.
While they're like holding
right.
hands.
Stunt coordinator was Rob Inch. He did Force Awakens, Rogue One. You have to get into it. But anyway, he's also Ridley Scott's go-to guy. He worked on a bunch of Ridley Scott. Rob Inch is his name. He had a swordmaster in this movie. Hardly surprising.
Oh, wow.
C.C. Smith, who did Game of Thrones and Force Awakens and Rogue One. And the fight coordinator was Liang Yang. Who did Rogue One, Pacific, and he's doing Pacific Rim Uprising. He's a Chinese choreographer.
John Boyega's buddy, yes.
I was going to say, like, with the newest Star Wars film, mm-hmm. the actions are very good. The reason why is because the first 3 trilogy, the action was kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original?
The original, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the prequels was absolutely terribly choreographed.
Yeah.
Like, it's too choreographed.
Yeah, really bad.
And this one...
Well, you know, I coined the phrase "empty movement" for the prequels.
Prequels, yeah.
Empty movement.
Right.
Here, they did a couple of super interesting things. One, you'll notice that all the fights, the major fights, and we had a couple of really strong ones,
mm-hmm.
were weapon based.
Yeah.
They didn't have. It wasn't just lightsaber versus lightsaber. It was lightsaber versus other kinds of weapons.
Right.
So you have all these characters who are masked. I mean, the red guys, the red knights, who were supposed to protect Snoke.
Snoke, yeah.
That was a great sequence.
Yeah.
Not as good as the Darth Vader sequence in The Force Awakens, which
right.
is still the top of the line.
Do you mean the
Rogue One?
The Rogue One Darth Vader slaughter that he slaughters all those guards.
That was well done.
That was fan service.
Like,
that was literally just fan service.
And also, very powerfully done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That
yeah.
Either,
it shows him as a character.
Here, you know, in this movie, it's interesting, and another thing I really liked about it was that they gave the kung fu moment not to Rey, but to Tran. She had the kung fu moment. Rey was stayed angry throughout.
Mm-hmm.
She was still enraged and using all her power
mm-hmm.
and using to chop people up, and that's why she was suffering and not doing as well as she might have. But the moment when John Boyega's character is trying to commit suicide
mm-hmm.
and Mary crashes into his ship and then says the line, which is, "We're not going to win by killing those we hate. We're going to win by saving those we love."
That's also something I don't like.
Really?
Well, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Wait, say it, I don't know.
Go ahead,
well,
say
no,
it.
It's the fact that they, like, they crashed it. They
she
have,
dies. She clearly dies, and then she doesn't.
She doesn't. Not just that. The fact that, like, when they're, like, right next to those AT-ATs, They don't shoot them.
Yeah. They're just having the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The fact that he had time to drag her back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like one of those things where I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, okay, I thought she died.
I guess.
And two, I was like, did you just, like, I imagined.
No,
him,
she
like,
clearly died, but then.
She clearly died.
Probably like, because of, like, screenings and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Her popularity was so much that they have to provide.
I don't even think it was of a popularity. I think what happened is that they saw, it may have been that, but I think, because that was clearly a corporate decision.
Yeah.
Where it was kind of, oh, let's not kill her. She's awesome. Let's keep her.
Let's not kill the Asian, let's not kill the African. The two, like, diversity characters,
yeah.
Man.
So the fact that she had the kung fu moment, and then, and when she
died,
I got pissed when she died. And I said, oh, they shouldn't have done that, and then they did, and I went, okay, fine, good. You can literally live. So, as you can see, we've been harping on this for however long we've been harping on it, and we've been basically saying the exact same thing that we said at the very beginning of the discussion, which is, you know,
It is what it is,
and you can hate it, and you can love it, and I agree with you both.
I definitely felt stronger about it than, Rogue One.
Not to open that can of worms,
because Rogue One, like, at the end of the
that's
day, Rogue One is an open-ended arc.
It's
a standalone, so there isn't much about the world that you need to know.
Yeah.
Because everything closes and folds in itself. You don't need to know Donnie Yen's character before he becomes the blind, like, Jedi-type master, or Jedi-type, like, kung fu fighter.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter, because he has an open-ended arc.
All right, you go into the next one?
What's
the next Star Wars movie in 4 years?
I'll probably watch it, yeah.
Yeah, you gonna
four
go?
4 years, really?
3 to 4.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay, and I am too. So there we go.
I don't know how I feel about,
if
like,
I'm alive,
all of the spinoffs. Okay, Rick.
I probably won't watch all the spinoffs.
Like, I honestly, like, I don't want to see a Han Solo
spinoff.
Like,
I'm less excited about those.
The thing with the prequels, like, as a kid, it was like the idea of being like, oh, we're gonna learn about him was really cool.
Yeah, see, if I was a movie goer. I wasn't really going to a lot of movies back then, but I don't think, I don't know, but I don't remember the timeline, but I wouldn't, if I seen the first Star Wars, I probably wouldn't see the second.
I have to admit that I am not as enamored. I will see about Solo, I will see about the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Like, I'm more, I might be
more interested in Han Solo.
We didn't get a whole lot of him, but like Han Solo, like, we had a really firm grasp of who he was.
Right. You don't need the backstory.
Yeah.
You don't need the tragic. You don't need,
like,
you don't need it. It would be nice to have it for fans,
yeah.
But like for normal, again, like for people who are not a fan, who just enjoy Star Wars.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I like two of them. Now, I like three of them. I like four of them, actually, with Rogue One and Force Awakens. I liked as well. The prequels I disliked, and the Return of the Jedi I disliked. But, so I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a huge fan of Star Trek. You know what I'm a huge fan of. I'm a huge fan of movies I like that I think are really good or great. And we're very lucky that we're in an age where we get to see these things. And so I think I'm going to have to go off and see Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be in the new year.
And I wonder when they will reboot the prequels. Anyway,
keep
going. They will eventually.
Oh, wow.
They will do it. You'll see it.
We'll see. I don't know. I think
I'm pretty sure they will.
Well, all right, well, we'll see.
No,
we'll see if that happens.
I don't think so.
We'll see if that
do
happens.
Do it better.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to leave that alone. They're going to focus on other stuff. I mean, for me, I could see them taking all of the really good things from, like, Star Wars Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels and kind of, like, filling in the gaps. Because, like, Anakin had a student.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and, like, those, the cartoons are really good.
Oh, yeah,
they really are.
The cartoons
are really good. Star Wars.
Like, they're sitting on, like, just so much good stuff.
Yeah, so I think that would be like throwing a match into a pit of oil.
I think they find ways around it.
Maybe.
But but we'll see.
I'll
see if you're right or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, another yelling, another yelling episode.
We talked at least 45 minutes.
I think this is, like, longer than
Star
like
War.
A normal
yeah,
episode.
Just,
we only
just
had three
shouting.
Movies.
Yeah. So in any case, everybody, you know what I always say, and you know what you always say in return, right? And that is, use your blinkers, jackass.
And Rick, chew your damn food!
Okay, break it up! For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more film fun, frenzy, and friends. Until then, check out actionfilmautopsy.com, where the excitement never ends.